looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
Kay in Kansas. Good morning, Kay. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm feeling great. I said my situation is a little bit different than most people. I'm 77, and I have adopted a three-year-old, had him for 3 years.
Now, is this a grandchild or something?
He's a great-grandchild.
You've adopted your great-grandchild?
Yes, he's mine.
And what's the story behind that?
His parents, his mother was my granddaughter, beautiful girl, and got caught up into drugs. I put her into a woman's home to get her off of drugs, got her out. She met this guy in church who was a druggie, and he was on meth. And next thing I know, they're together, and then they have two babies. And now nobody knows where she's at after they took the children away. My daughter has the girl, and I have the little boy. And I feel like God gave him back to me. Excuse me for crying. Because many years ago, when abortion started, I had an abortion. I was married at the time, and he didn't want any children. And I had an abortion. And I feel like God gave him back to me, to show me what I had missed in this little guy. And I know one day I will meet the other child. And now I'm a nurse, and I'm waiting to get a job in life care. To talk to ladies and young girls that want to have abortions.
Well, I think that is extraordinary, and I think that at 77 years old, Kay, I got to tell you, you're pretty ambitious, taking on a three-year-old, and you're going back to work as a nurse. You are some kind of 77-year-old, aren't you?
Yeah.
You live in Kansas. I want to know what's in the water in Kansas that you got that kind of strength, and because that is quite. Now, let me ask you a logistical. Well, okay. Well, let me ask you a logistical question.
Yes.
What's the plan for this child if something happens to you? Because at 77, I hope you live to be 107, but what's the plan for this child?
He will go live with my daughter. Matter of fact, I made his name when we adopted. I put his name as her last name because I didn't want, she's got the little girl, and I didn't want him to have different names, how kids can be. Well, that's your sister. What's her name? This or that. He calls me mommy. I have him in a Christian daycare. He's learning about God. I have him in a Christian daycare, and the kids were saying, well, you don't have a mommy or daddy. And he came to me and said that. And I told him, I said, his name's Gabriel. I said, Gabe, I am your mother. On paper, I am your mother, and I will always be your mother. And so, you can call me mommy if you want to. So now he calls me mommy.
Don't say nothing. And just keep introducing him to his Heavenly Father. Now, it's going to be a little bit weird, Kay, because when he goes to be with your daughter, that's his sister and his grandmother at the same time.
Right.
And so that's going to get a little bit weird. So you're going to have to, your family tree is going to require maybe one of those dry erase boards that you're going to have to do some creative writing on the family tree for Gabe when he gets a little older. But I think you got time to deal with that.
I've been trying to figure out how to, because he's been down at, my daughter lives in Naples, Florida, and I have been there with him, and it's a little different because my daughter loves him, but she's not close to him. She doesn't know, and I live in Kansas. She lives in Naples, and it's hard for me to get down there to let them be together. But I've been there a couple times and stayed like a month or so. And it is a little difference for Gabriel because he's all boy. He's all boy. And everybody that sees him or talks to him, they can't believe he's only 3 years old because he has been blessed by being smart. He knows everything. I mean, when they talk to him, they look at me and say, "How old is he?" And I say, 3, and they can't believe it. They think he's 5 or 6.
So well, regardless of how this works out, and I think you guys have mm-hmm. done something extraordinary in the midst of a very, very, very complex set of circumstances. Yes. When drugs get involved, it screws mm-hmm. everything up. I mean, it just truly yes. does. And the family has to kind of pinch it the best that you can. And you've done this. And mm-hmm. God also promises that he will restore what the locusts have eaten. And that's what he's done with your situation, with your abortion many years ago. And that he's provided yes. a promissory note of how he is going to redeem even that, because that's what he does. God reaches into the yes. most horrific things and pulls out redemption in ways that we just can't even process. And Gabriel is a promissory Amen. Note to an ultimate redemption that God will do when you're in his presence. Mm-hmm. And you guys have done the best that you can with it, with a very, very complex set of circumstances. So as long as you keep introducing him to his heavenly father, then regardless of what happens with his biological mother or his grandmother or anybody else, mm-hmm. it as long as he is anchored in his heavenly father, he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what you're doing.
Yes. I have a son 50 that says, "Mom, I will take him, you know, if him and his wife would take him. If he's a teenager, they can take him and do things with him." And he loves his uncle very much. And
he's got a family that loves him. Okay. He's got a lot of family around that really wants to hug and love on this kid and care for him. And it's a family thing. We're going to take this kid in. We know this one, your granddaughter evidently just really got messed up with drugs, and the rest yeah. of the family seems to step in. I got a buddy of mine who did that with his niece's twins, and mm-hmm. And he's done that and taking care of her sons and adopted them as his own. And so when mm-hmm. you get drugs involved, and that's one of the reasons we add the addict alcoholic component of care for mm-hmm. caregiving into this show, because we understand what it does to the family. And you've been functioning as a family caregiver. Here you are, 77 years old. Now, when are you going to start work as in your nursing program with counseling?
I am waiting for they're very strict, and they have sent out 3 letters that reference
letters.
Reference letters, and they had to. I've never had that before because I was a hospice nurse, and I've never had that before where they sent those out and they had to fill them all out. And the last one just got in, so I'm waiting. I'll go before a council of life care people, and they'll interview me there. And I'm really excited about it. I think this is what God wants me to do, because I've been praying, "God, I need to do something," because Gabe's in the daycare all day, and I'm just here at the house, and thank God I am very healthy. I've never had any heart attacks, nothing.
How many hours will you be working at this thing?
I told him I probably would just work a couple, about 3 days a week. I want to go into the van and go and do the ultrasounds and be able to speak to the young women or the older women about God and tell them what I have gone through with it, and that how God can forgive them, and he will forgive them if they will just listen and let keep this baby. To me, it's murder, and don't murder your child, you know. And that's why.
But when you do this, and when you go before this committee, and you have to, they talk to you, and you have to kind of make your case on why you're a person for this. I believe that you're going to be calm and you're going to be matter of fact. There'll be some emotion with it. I don't think you can do any of this without deep feelings and emotion, but at the same time, you sound very anchored in the redemptive work of Christ in this. And so when you face these folks and do this, we'll just continue to pray. This network will, and the people that are listening right now.
Yes, you're
on the front lines. You're going into something that is incredibly painful and incredibly divisive in this country. And and here you are doing this at 77 years old. So I want to give a little bit of encouragement to all you 77-year-olds out there. Here's Kay out there. She's taking on a toddler and the abortion industry. And so, you know, when you talk about a mighty warrior of God, Kay, I mean, I'm telling you got stern stuff in you. And I got to ask before we go to the break, what kind of shoes do you wear, Kay? What kind of shoes do you wear? I hope they're well-supportive shoes.
I wear cowboy boots.
Well, there you go. You're ready to ride then. All right, cowboy boots to work. I'll take that. We'll take cowboy boots for $100 there. All right, well, Kay, thank you for calling and being a blessing to this audience today. And call back. Let us know how it goes, okay? This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies. And with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.